Here in Washington, there's a new museum going up, and although its doors won't open until 2015, every few months here on Weekends and All Things Considered, we get an early peek at the collection that's starting to take shape. The Smithsonian's National Museum of African American History and Culture will stand just a few hundred feet from the Washington Monument, making it the newest museum on the National Mall. I sat down with the museum's director, Lonnie Bunch, a few days ago to see some of the latest things he's collected from around the world, and he started by showing me a painting, a 19th century watercolor of a slave ship on its way to America.
This is the Portuguese ship, the Delahante. And the Delahante was a ship with over 400 enslaved people. And what is wonderful about this is that one of the officers actually did this watercolor that gives us a real look at what it was like for many of those who were enslaved on that ship. I mean, if you look at it carefully, it's a picture of the ship, it's full sail, but what's really powerful is that there are probably 120 Africans on deck. Mm. And if you look carefully at it, you can see the condition of the Africans. Many, you can see their ribs, they're malnourished. You can also see some of the sailors actually throwing an African body overboard.
Yeah.
Talks about death and the like. So, I mean, I think in some ways, this is really one of the images that people haven't seen that really gives us a real understanding, different than the kind of traditional image we see of people just being, you know, packed spoon fashion in a ship.
What an incredible piece. Next up, I think that you have, I think this is a poster that we're about to see. And
what we have is a reward poster that talks about three or four slaves who ran away in Kentucky, and that there's a $1,000 reward for them. What is so powerful, though, is that it really tells us a lot about who these people are. If you look at it, it says, we're in search of George, who was 22 or 23 years old. He's 5'7" or 5'8". His color, he's a dark black. He has a long, or what they call a double head, had a variety of clothing, including a green frock coat, black velvet collar, and I love this, a low-crowned white silk hat. So in some ways, while this speaks volumes about the desire for African Americans to gain their freedom and the number that ran away during the entire period of enslavement, it also is a way to understand the kind of clothing, the treatment. Often these often say things like the runaway had a scar. Mm. So they're really a great resource for scholars as we begin to understand what it was like to be enslaved and what it was like to run away.
$1,000 reward. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
In 1840.
So that tells you that what at least George and Jefferson were good farmhands because they had to be highly skilled to bring that kind of reward back.
And Lonnie, I should just remind folks listening at home that all of these things we're looking at, they can see right now at our website, npr.org. We've posted images of all of these artifacts online. And your colleagues are bringing, looks like it looks old, but it's a, looks like a pretty important medal.
This is a Croix de Guerre that was given to a man named Lawrence McVee, who was a member of the 369th, the Harlem's Hellfighters. Mm. And this is a group that went over to France in 1917. Initially, the U.S. government didn't want them there. They were then reassigned to the French army, fought in French uniforms, but they were known as one of the best fighting units. They were so good at defeating the Germans that they received this honor, which is very unusual.
This is a group of soldiers from Harlem.
From Harlem.
They fought under the French flag.
The United States government said that we would use black soldiers as laborers, but we don't want you to fight as equals. And so after many complaints from the African-American community, these folks were then saying, well, we will give you to the French army. And what was so interesting is that this caused all kinds of trouble, that when the French army treated them as equals, there was a great fear. What happens now when they come back to the American army? Are they going to expect certain rights? And so I think what you find is that people like Mr. McVee, when they came back, they demanded a changed America.
That is an untold story.
It's a great story.
You can imagine a film being told about a group of African-American soldiers from Harlem going to fight for the French. Under the French flag because they wanted to take part in this fight.
Exactly. And it's a great story because they come back in 1919 and they're part of this amazing parade of all the World War I American soldiers marching up Fifth Avenue. Mm. And so the story is that they're at the back of the line, and but they're getting applause, and then they cross 110th Street into Harlem, and apparently Harlem went wild.
Incredible story. And I should remind everybody listening, Lonnie, that all of us, everybody, will be able to see these at the museum in 2015 when the doors open. This is incredible. Let me just describe it. It is a poster. It looks like a photograph or daguerreotype from the 19th century of maybe an African king. This is a modern photograph from the late 1960s. Who is it?
This is Huey P. Newton, who was one of the founders of the Black Panther Party, in a kind of wicker chair, sitting on top of a zebra with sort of African shields on his side and an African spear in his left hand. But in his right hand is a shotgun with shells by his feet. And then the quintessential modern look, the black leather jacket and the black beret. This is the image that inspired young people, black and white, and terrified J. Edgar Hoover and the FBI.
This is an organization that struck fear into the hearts of people all across America.
Absolutely. J. Edgar Hoover felt that this was the number one enemy that would destroy America.
Incredible. Because it was a relatively small group.
It was a very small group. But what happened is that image was so powerful that they began to have chapters all around the country. Mm. And those chapters would have run-ins with police, and each time the run-in occurred, they became more famous. But I think the contribution, we've now gone from viewing the Panthers as a black radical group to understanding more that while self-defense was part, so were educational programs, feeding young kids. And so I think that we in this museum are going to be able to tell the fuller story of what the Black Panther Party was.
Absolutely amazing. It's Lonnie Bunch. He's the founding director of the National Museum of African American History and Culture. It's set to open its doors here in Washington, D.C. on the National Mall, right next to the Washington Monument in 2015. Lonnie, we'll be back in a couple months and get a glimpse of some of the things that you guys are
looking forward to it. It's wonderful. Thank you as always.